everybody. It's time for a brand new episode of Plan Better! Trying not to lose my voice, I'm your host, Richard. Over there, you can barely hear him. It's Jason.
Yes. It's funny, I think the most common thing you said is losing my voice, Richard.
For like the last 6 months, it seems like helping assemble a trailer for Rogue One hurriedly on this last day of the Star Wars convention. It's Michael.
Just put an X-Wing on the screen. Just let it fly by.
And trying to put up new source links for the Fantastic Four trailer as quickly as Fox can shut them down, it's Chris.
That actually happens during the show, people.
Yep.
So today on the show, Star Wars Celebration news, Episode 7, Rogue One a little bit, maybe a couple of seconds of Rebels, the various toy stuff in brief, I guess, and whatnot, yeah. And then cast exchange on Marvel's Revolutionary War and Fox's The Last Man on Earth. Give it a listen, why don't you? Well, Star Wars Celebration happened, and while there really wasn't as much news as I was expecting for the Episode 7 coming out in, like, what, 8 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 months.
Give or take a few days.
Well, when's D23?
November.
So that's probably when we'll get all the rest of it.
Maybe. I don't know, D23, like, the first year it seemed like a really big deal, and each progressive year it has seemed like less of a big deal. And I don't know why, other than that, like, in order to be able to go, you have to pay a relatively high membership fee kind of thing, from what I understand. It's something I would like to do someday. It's, you know, I would like to go to Celebration someday, too. Honestly, if there was ever going to be a year for me to go to Celebration, I suppose this is probably would have been it, because, like, it seems like, now that I think about it, the two Star Wars movies I like the most from both trilogies are the first ones. So...
yeah,
maybe this was my moment, and I just missed it.
Too bad.
Well, once we start on, you know, episodes 10, 11, and 12, you can go to that one.
Oh, man. Oh, man, we'll see. I'm really scared what's going to happen, like, going forward from here. I'm going to enjoy this new trilogy, and I'm going to dread these spinoff movies, which I'm surprised there wasn't more news about those.
Because I think that they're retooling how they're going to do all that.
Oh, sweet. Are they firing Gareth Edwards because they realized there was no way they should have booked him on a big-budget project? Mm-hmm. Someone watched Godzilla, and they're like, oh, God, why did we do that?
Oh, Godzilla.
What have we done? Is he supposed to do the first one?
Yeah, he's doing Rogue One with Felicity Jones.
I like that casting. I like her. I think she's fine, but...
yeah, I don't mind the casting. Like, none of the casting so far has bugged me. In fact, it's almost universally been like, oh, man, rock and roll. I like that actor, and I'm glad they're in a big role.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're actually really good.
It's just the creative people. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, no, Simon Kinberg.
Yeah, like, what the hell were you thinking? Like, stop dropping acid, you fucking retards.
I'm leaving that in.
There's your clip for the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Did you see the clip of BB-8 on stage?
Nah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I mean, I'm sure it's neat. At the same time, like...
nah, fuck you.
What? I didn't watch any of the press conferences.
It's awesome. BB-8's
no,
neat. I like that they made BB-8 an actual, like, physical robot. And it's...
but they all have been, except the battle droids.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's a fucking ball. There's no... I mean, it's... It's
true. It does look really neat, like, on stage.
How it actually moves and stuff, because it looks like... the only thing that
I
can really
think it's floating all the time.
Is the head has rollers on it, and there's a magnet and a gyroscope inside of the ball.
Yeah, it does look really cool.
But it looks awesome, because it's just... it's so... I mean, it's such a neat piece of technology that they've done. I mean, because... I mean, R2's great, but R2's got rollers. You know, you can see how he moves.
There's a guy in it.
You don't think there's someone inside of BB-8? You don't think they put like a baby in there?
I mean, if they want to get dizzy, sure.
It's a little
hamster inside of it.
It's a bubble boy.
It's a hamster.
But yeah,
that'd be great. Or like a little dog.
And BB-8, whenever they brought him on stage, him and R2 started arguing, so they had like, but BB-8's like
it's a lover's quarrel.
Is kind of neat. It's different. It's noticeably different than R2's, like the chirps and the beeps and stuff like that. So it won't be confusing to tell which droid is.
Not just protocol droid,
right? Yeah, it's not just protocol droid. It's
like the binary language of moisture evaporators.
It could be because they're on. I think BB-8 comes from Jakka. So
what?
It's just good. It's just funny. You make a joke. You want me to laugh? I'll laugh.
Yeah, all right.
It's just when you laugh, we worry.
What? Yeah. But I didn't watch any of the press conferences or anything because I'm, you know.
Well, on YouTube, you can watch the whole 7-hour thing. They have it all up on YouTube.
Wasn't it just people going in to watch the trailer and then leaving?
No, they had like 7 hours worth of shit that they were talking. It was live streamed on YouTube. They had the press conferences where they brought out, you know, the droids.
All the old people.
They were showing all. They had the entire cast up on stage.
Yeah, all the old people.
Except Harrison Ford.
Well, yeah, except Harrison
Ford. Is he still in the hospital?
No, he's recovering. JJ said that he was going to go visit him, and he was busy. Harrison was like, fuck you, I've got stuff to do. So, but I do think it's kind of funny. People were like, that's the most awake Harrison Ford's ever seemed in that Star Wars trailer.
It's horrible. It's Indiana Jones.
We got that trailer.
Yeah, no, I mean, they definitely put that out there, like, the first day. There was a couple of other, like, you know, merch announcements and whatnot. Apparently, there's going to be a 12-inch McQuarrie Vader.
Oh, yeah, from Sideshow?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hasbro showed a Star Wars Black Ahsoka.
And they showed the premium format Stormtrooper. The McQuarrie Stormtrooper.
Yeah. And apparently there is a Hot Toys Space Trooper you can get for, like, the richest of the rich that can just afford, you know, a $400 Stormtrooper.
Yeah, it looks pretty great.
Yeah, no, they do look cool. But, you know, whatever. Sigh. I didn't know the Stormtrooper was already out, but Scotty on Action Figure Blues already got his from Big Bad Toy Stars.
Yeah, because he couldn't get it. Well, he couldn't get it from Sideshow. Because
they don't ship to Australia.
Bastards.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It only applies to some stuff, though.
Yeah, I know. Weird. It's mostly Hot Toys, I think.
I think it has something to do with tariffs, because I think there's...
Japanese.
That's why their friend in Argentina, Tom, can't get a lot of stuff, because apparently the taxes on plastic product or
anything
out
to South America.
Butthole.
Do you know how much a PlayStation 4 costs in South America?
$1,000.
No, $1,600.
Holy shit.
That's why whenever they come up, whenever we have conferences in Lexington.
Oh, yeah, they buy it.
Whenever
shit
we used
stuff.
To, whenever we worked at Best Buy, it's cheaper to buy it here and then pay the customs tax than it is. They could buy two and pay the customs tax up here for what they would pay for one down there.
You just fucking hide it in your suitcase.
Oh, yeah, man.
Do you have anything to declare?
No.
I'm not doing anything suspicious.
No, nothing.
That's what you mean.
No, honest, I don't. I promise.
I just bought this frog.
The only thing I have to declare is I really like your tie.
But, you know, I don't know. That Rebels trailer was neat. It definitely more happened in that trailer than happened in the entire
season
of Rebels.
It looks way more entertaining than anything I've ever seen from Rebels. Wow.
That's a bit mean. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
The season was good, but that trailer does look a lot better. So
it looks a lot cooler.
But then again, the second season of Clone Wars was a lot better than the first season.
You got to give them a season to get their feet wet.
They realized, oh, hey, maybe this cast of characters is a little limited in the interactions we can have with them, so we should do
Let's
more.
Let's throw in Ahsoka.
It's like that fucking Clone Wars movie.
The poster looks exactly like... the poster has Ahsoka on it. So I guess she's just joining the team.
Yeah, and that she was the only Black Series figure they showed. I was very upset.
Well, I mean, there's test shots of the Episode 7 Black Series figures.
Yeah, but that wasn't official, was it?
No. somebody probably died for that.
Yeah.
Did you see...
Did they show a Chrome Trooper? Because that's what I want.
The clone troopers look good.
Is that what people are calling? Was that the Boba Fett looking one that David was telling me about?
The guy with the red cloak had the big
They're called clone troopers.
Oh, so there's more than one.
Apparently,
I don't think so. I think he might
just
be,
the one.
I think he might just be.
Oh, I heard it was there. It was a whole thing.
He might be like the
commander because he has a cape.
The admiral of the First Order.
I heard one person speculating that the chrome trooper was a girl.
So I think that's what David was hinting at as well.
So that might be.
Show Lupita Nyong'o yet?
No.
No.
What I want is for Luke to have dinner with all the Force ghosts every night at a table. So then you see Liam Neeson and you get Yoda. They're all sitting pretending to drink and eat ghost food.
I do love how fucking huge, Anakin's old lightsaber looks whenever that little alien hands it to Leia.
Alien.
Oh, is that Leia that was taking it?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume because it says
he said my sister has it. So, yeah. I mean.
And those hands look gigantic.
But.
Well, we can't see her Coke, nail anymore, so.
Oh, my God, Chris.
What? What's this, Chris? Jedi?
She's talking to the Force ghost of John Belushi.
So I mean.
Rendered in high def.
I assume that Daisy Ridley's going to be the kid.
Daisy Ridley's the girl who's driving the ice cream bar-shaped thing in the first trailer,
right? I assume that she's going to be Han and Leia's kid or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely can't tell from that trailer. She looks just like Queen Amidala.
Well, yeah, that's very true. John Boyega, did you notice that whenever he was he put his helmet on or took the helmet off, it had like a bloody handprint on it?
Yeah.
That was kind of a cool little touch.
My favorite thing in that trailer is the person reaching out for him to help him off the ground, and he just freaks out and grabs like their entire shoulder with both hands.
Well, that's Daisy Ridley.
I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool for some reason.
That's Daisy Ridley, I think.
I figured it probably was because they're on Tatooine or whatever. It was that and him holding up the busted up Vader helmet. Those are my favorite things in the trailer.
They're on Jakku.
I love that.
Yeah, it's not Tatooine.
Oh, they're on Java?
Jakku.
Jakku.
J-A-K-K-A.
Yeah, because that way we don't have to go to Tatooine again.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of a relief, honestly. Like, I'm kind of Tatooined out.
I think Jakku is where the, that fallen Star Destroyer is that has that awesome TIE Fighter versus Millennium Falcon.
Is that where Anakin's lightsaber lands?
Possibly. Because Daisy Ridley is apparently a junker.
Why would he land anywhere, Jace? Doesn't he
from
take
clouds,
it?
From Cloud City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking the old Anakin. Where they give it to Luke.
Because that's where...
And
that's...
his hand's chopped off, and it falls all the way through space to the planet.
I was like, Vader's lightsaber was probably blown up on Death Star.
Well, Anakin's first lightsaber.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan gives to Luke that he loses when he gets his hand chopped off.
Well, technically, I think it's his... Is that his second lightsaber? I don't know.
It was Anakin's second lightsaber.
It is Anakin's second, because he gets his lightsaber sliced in half in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
right.
In that very confusing conveyor belt chase where I honestly thought he lost his entire arm for a second.
Yeah, I did too.
And then,
we're just
I know, I was like, holy shit!
But no, it was super cool. I'm super glad everyone's way excited about this. I hope everyone likes it, because I swear to God, if I got to go through another decade of internet videos bitching about every tiny little thing in a movie, I'm going to blow my fucking brains out. Showed me...
Horseshoe John Horseshoe?
Yeah, Cinema Sins or whatever. He showed me the one for Spider-Man 2 for some reason, and I told David about it. He's like, they really have run out of material if they're having to do good movies, and it's like, the joke was that, what is this bank from, the 1950s, because they're giving out a free toaster with a bank account, or it sure is convenient that, Peter is in the right place for Dr. Octopus to attack a bank, and I'm like, yes, congratulations, you understand how a movie works.
And more importantly, how comic books work.
That, R2-D2 happens to deliver plans from Princess Leia, who is Luke's sister, to the planet that Luke lives on, because that's where Obi-Wan went, and that they didn't find Han Solo and get on the Millennium Falcon and then go on an adventure. Like, all of that's very strange that they were all in the same place.
It's a big coincidence that Peter just happened to be right in that place for that irradiated spider to bite him.
Yeah,
what are the odds?
It's like, Peter carried this newspaper all the way home so they could have this, tracking shot of zooming out from it, and I'm like, yes, he did. Congratulations. You have made a statement that is factually accurate in relation to what is depicted on the screen. And those guys are guests at C2E2. For that shit. Like, cool.
Well, I guess at one of the cons...
because Richard was like, this trailer was really great, but I'm going to tell you about this thing I hate so much. He still found a way.
I guess it was Vancouver Con or something like that. They had apparently
Coover Con
Gamergate people that were that had set up a booth.
Oh yeah, where they were apparently like busted and had the cops called on them or something.
Well, they'd set up a booth and they were doing panels and they got kicked out. I mean, they pulled them off because they were like, no.
So Wade compared them to the Klan in a tweet earlier.
Yeah, all right.
He said they're the 21st century Klan. Like, holy crap.
Well, the 21st century Klan is the 21st century Klan.
But, yeah, it's, you know, the Klan.
I mean,
but
Gamergate, you know, they're not too far behind the Klan.
I don't know. I thought this shit would have burned out like 6 months ago.
I don't get it.
Like, I'm amazed. Like,
it's
the internet.
It's the power of the fedora.
I mean, the internet has such a short attention span anyway for, like, anything that is not, like, you know, I don't know, Star Wars and whatever the fuck else. Like, I mean, I guess it's really just Star Wars.
Yep.
And maybe, like, a couple of other, like, probably Game of Thrones, but it's hard to tell because it's so new. You know, I don't know. I mean, I know someday that, like, the Marvel stuff is going to be relatively dormant. But
I love all the shots in that Star Wars trailer. Like, it just looks like he's shooting that thing exactly how it should be shot. It's crazy.
Well, that, I mean, the flight through the downed Death Star,
it looks great. I mean, just
looks
like,
amazing.
It's like he has this depth ability to continue. Like, I mean, it's probably that television background.
Oh yeah,
is continuing previously established spatial continuity and putting some new kind of spins on it.
Mm-hmm. People shit on Abrams, but like, I mean. The thing is, like, he has a gift in that he is the most spectacularly talented chameleon in terms of replicating how someone else's movies feel.
Yes.
As much as you want to complain about, like, well, Super 8 on this sweet happy tone, but that alien was still eating people, blah, 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 whatever. Like, the movie feels like a late 1970s Spielberg movie. Like, it just does. Like, that's all there is to it. I never thought I would see another movie that evoked that particular, like,
and
aura.
Not-
I guess.
Yeah, and it wasn't in a way that it was. It was intentional, and it was gathering all of the elements of it, and not just little kitschy nostalgia things. It was like real actual elements.
It wasn't like a parody or homage. It was like
a style.
A style. Yeah, exactly. Right.
And it was great. I love that.
And you really do feel that epic. I mean,
and it looks like he's changed that style for this because it looks way more wide shot oriented.
Yeah.
Because Spielberg doesn't do wide shots; he does close ups.
Well,
yeah.
But this trailer felt epic. I mean, it feels this trailer makes you feel like The Force Awakens is going to be a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, man, it's going to be a big fucking deal. Bigger deal than The Hobbit.
Well, but I'm just saying.
I kind of wonder if that isn't why they moved it to Christmas.
It makes you feel that way, though. That's the thing.
Moved it to Christmas because they weren't done and they needed more time. And he was like, well, we have to get it out by 2015 because we've made promises to all of our shareholders. So we can do December. That's all you got.
Hey, fair enough.
They wanted to move it back to May of 2016, but... That ain't happening.
I mean, I don't know.
Apparently, one of the big things, according to one of the interviews that they had done during Celebration, was like they were really regretting there for about a half minute trying to do a practical effect for BB-8 because they're like, it would be so much easier just to CG this motherfucker. And they luckily stumbled upon a roboticist that had developed a system to make this work. And apparently it was Bob Iger who pointed...
To that direction?
Yeah, in that direction.
See, he's great for that company.
Like, Bob Iger found this guy and was like, I think we might have a job for you.
Yeah.
And
that's neat.
How would you like to work on Star Wars?
Well, they even made mention of that.
The guy was holding a plate. crash.
They even made mention of that during the whenever BB-8 was on that. Oh, yeah. And we'd like to thank Bob Iger for getting us set up with this roboticist who helped.
The executive is actually helping a movie property?
Yeah, I know.
Sounds like Michael Eisner.
Maybe he can help Simon Kinberg out the fucking door.
Well, I kind of get the impression that's happening, don't you?
I kind of do as well. I mean, he wasn't there, was he?
I didn't see him.
I don't think so.
So I wonder how much he even has to do with Rebels, really.
But JJ was everywhere, so I'm pretty sure he's going to come back for the third one.
Yeah.
I think JJ's having too much fun with this.
Well, I think he may have been burned out while shooting it. And then editing it, everyone's like, holy shit, this movie is really good.
I mean, Star Wars is kind of like the ultimate miracle cure that no matter how much people are incredibly pissy about it, like everything with like, you know, like, oh, the special editions, oh, prequels, whatever. Like, I never get tired of it ever. Like, and I never will. Like,
no,
I will never get burned out on Star Wars.
I don't know. 100%. Yeah.
Like, Star Wars is like the unifying thread through that in the entire history of my life that grants connections to everyone I've ever known in some way, form, or fashion. Like, Star Wars is life, as David put it.
And can't wait for Zack Snyder's Star Wars.
So, one thing...
Well, that might be it. I don't know.
The one thing that I heard from, I guess, conversations or something is that Kylo Ren is apparently a treasure hunter for Sith.
Yeah, he's an artifact. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I mean, I don't know.
So he's not evil?
I don't know any about that.
Well, apparently he finds Sith artifacts, and I don't know.
Are we just doing all the spoilers?
Oh, and hey, really quick, they just posted on the Star Wars Twitter is that a band of resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans is the plot of Rogue One.
Oh, so it's the people that steal the Death Star plans, huh?
Yep.
So it's the mini Bothan spies, huh?
I guess.
The death count will be tremendous.
Oh, man. Well, there went Dark Forces. Shit.
I thought it already was out the window.
Well, yeah, technically. But still, that's the first mission in Dark Forces.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently. I don't know.
I hope they find a way to put him in.
Like, there's the reason I haven't watched any of, like, the press conferences or anything like that is because I know there will be approximately 17 billion articles recapping every single, like, time Abrams blinked when he was saying stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I mean, I don't need, like, I guarantee you, like, the next week, every time I hop on Facebook, there will be 15 shares of, like, whatever thing on, like, Geeks of Doom or IO9 or Tomopop or whatever, like, whatever news site, like, everywhere.
My biggest issue with a lot of the stuff is that people seem to not want to let go to the expanded universe stuff, and I understand that to an extent. I mean, it was good stuff. But when it comes right down to it, it wasn't what George wrote. It wasn't what he wanted. And, you know, so now we're getting a new, you know, universe. And yeah, you're gonna, I mean, you know, all right, this is the way, I guess the best way you can look at it is like Star Trek. I mean, you know, you've hit an alternate reality. It's just that the alternate reality is all those books that came out over the past 20 years.
I mean, I don't know. I will say that the dude whose job was to be the continuity police over at Star Wars, like, I can't remember his name, but his job just got a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he really did. Like, this is a guy who is, like, working in, like,
he was the Master of the Holocrons, is what his jokey title
Yeah,
was.
Like, working
Master
in...
Master of the Holocrons.
Lord Dark Knight or whatever from, like, one panel of the 70s Star Wars comic into functioning with, like, the new Dark Horse stuff and shit like that. Or not Lord Dark Knight, Lord Dark Moon or something.
And now, I mean, it's just 1 through 6, the cartoons, the movie, the Clone Wars movie, and
the new books.
And the new books.
Yeah, of which I have not read any.
I haven't,
but a lot of the writers that they've gotten for the new books are really good.
You love your Iron Druid guy.
Yeah, he's...
Kevin, kids like him, too.
Kevin Hearn's got him, got a couple of books. Alan Dean Foster, of course, is...
Well, of course, I mean, look, there's no Star Wars universe without fucking Alan Dean Foster.
He's doing the adaptation for The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Good.
But yeah, yeah, I want to read some of the books, but as I'll probably
I've been meaning to read the Tarkin book.
I wanted to read that too.
As it gets closer, I probably will. Like it will, probably whenever it hits November or something like that.
When I have
probably
time to read again, well, I will. When I'm 67,
when it's in paperback. Huh? I mean, I don't want to pay $30 for
book. Well, I mean, you can get an ebook.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, I could.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that might be a nice like. That's probably like the ideal way to have a lot of the Star Wars books is because there's so many at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is on ebook. But I mean, you know, like normally these are the sort of things I would read when we were on a trip, but we only go on like 2 trips a year now.
Mm. Oh, no.
What?
I don't go on any.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
How many did you used to go on?
Oh, God. Like
30. I guess like 4 or 5, yeah.
No, it was way more than that.
Yeah. Like, I guess so.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, like no, like
even up to when you were like in teenager, you guys still went a lot.
We did, but we went way less than when I was in elementary and middle school.
Yeah,
like there was at least like you know, like we would just sometimes leave for an entire summer.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid, but you know, it's neither here nor there. But yeah, you know, no, I'm super pleased with this new trailer. I guess we don't really need to do a trailer trash on it because I assume we just all like it.
Yes.
No, I thought it was great. I loved the trailer. I was very excited for the
super
movie.
Hyped for this. Super.
I'm really
in love with the positive feelings about it.
Yeah,
and I hope
I feel great about a lot of this.
Yeah, I hope it carries forth for everyone through the movie. Like I'm sure I'll love the movie. Like you got to work pretty hard to make a Star Wars movie I hate.
It's and true.
You might start by you know getting
Rogue
Gareth
One,
Edwards to direct it, but
yes.
The new TIE fighters look so cool. The new Star Destroyer looks so
everything
cool.
Everything looks cool.
Yeah, the new everything looks cool.
X-Wings.
It all looks great. It really just looks... Yeah, it's updated so well. Like, it looks really neat.
But yeah,
and it just makes sense.
And it all looks lived in, so it's okay.
Well, and
it also looks pretty shiny. So I don't like that.
I like the fact that you have the First Order, which is the new... That's who runs the Stormtroopers and shit. And then...
Not Imperial Remnant.
Right, not the Imperial Remnant.
And not the Rebels, the Resistance.
The Resistance, yeah, because one thing I always had an issue with the old school when they were the New Republic was why do you still act like the fucking Rebels then? You run the government, you've got a little bit more money. You know,
it's true, Michael.
But the Yuuzhan Vong had more.
Oh, the Yuuzhan Vong. Oh my gosh. The Force can't hurt them. Oh, no.
We will take your women and impregnate them.
But,
the hell was that?
Jesus Christ.
That's what they did.
Your voice.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, there's other stuff like that. Like, there was this salamander thing that Grand Admiral Thrawn had. The Yisalamari or whatever.
Yeah.
Phew. Or you could, you know, make your armor out of cortosis, which is resistant to lightsaber blades.
Which I think is actually still canon, because I think that was in Clone Wars.
I think there's an episode where characters have cortosis shields.
Well, that's
or something.
The Mandalorians have some of the Mandalorians.
Oh,
have
they
cortosis.
Have cortosis blades. That's right. They've got cortosis sabers.
Well, and then there's the Darksaber, the black lightsaber.
Yeah.
From what?
From Clone Wars that the Mandalorians have.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, yes. Hey, the one that Jon Favreau had.
What about this? What was this about that 4-episode Clone Wars that they screened?
Yep, they're doing some new episodes of Clone Wars that take place.
I didn't hear anything about
that.
Yep,
they're new episodes of Clone Wars that will be added to the Netflix stream that take place after and are... More,
man, I feel so bad for everyone that bought that complete series.
Because it's not.
That are more bridging elements. Because apparently the original plan for Clone Wars would have taken it past the end of Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I did read that.
Like they were.
Well, they have to explain where Darth Maul went because he's just floating around in the ether now.
Yes. But apparently they are using some of that stuff in Rebels. And then they are doing 4 more new episodes of Clone Wars.
It's cool that the Captain Rex and those other clones turned that ATTE into Hal's Moving Castle.
Yes. I thought that was cool.
Like, that's pretty funny.
I'm still excited to get to the banking thing.
Raise their interest rates.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's on the horizon. I can't wait.
Whatever happened to the banking clan?
Chris's
Son Hill died on Mustafar, along with all the other separatist leaders. And then, so.
I want to know what happened to the Techno Union.
Wat Tambor is like the first guy who dies.
Yeah,
Moltar.
Yeah,
Moltar. Like
nice. Moltar.
Yeah. Poor Wat Tambor. He only ever got the one figure and I never bought it like an idiot.
Fool.
I know. My evil association of bureaucrats on one side of the display. Star Wars villains.
That's great.
But, you know. Well, I guess this got leaked, and I don't know if it was an intentional leak to try and distract from Star Wars, or if what. Because honestly, I thought that they would leak this trailer right as Daredevil came out.
I think whoever leaked it did that to make the Star Wars trailer look better.
Maybe.
Yes, so Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Do you bleed?
Part one? Is it still? No, is it two parts?
No, it's just, it's the whole thing.
It's one movie?
Well.
Oh, so they saw how people reacted.
Yeah, probably.
And they were like, oh, fuck. Never mind.
Do you think they'll see how people reacted to this trailer and go, oh, fuck, well, never mind?
I don't know about that.
Because we have evil, angry, glowy-eyed Lego Batman versus false god Superman.
Like that thing with the false god was like, yeah, that's god. Perfect. Like that is like
that is what this is.
That is 25 years of my life listening to people tell me Superman is boring, conveyed in one image. It was too powerful.
That trailer made me physically ill.
Oh, dude, oh, I fucking bad. Laughed at it. Like, I was like, this is exactly what I would thought it
could be. It's not bad enough to make you physically ill.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Paul Blart 2 is that bad.
Paul Blart 2 made me laugh, at least. I didn't laugh cry. I laugh cried at this because it was just like you're ruining any possibilities of, because I do like the DC characters.
Yeah, dude, but I'm fine. I'm fine with just Dark Knight and have it be that forever.
But
they're
ruining it. I mean, they're literally killing themselves.
I don't think the trailer was negatively received among the people I've talked to about it, including Horseshoe John Horseshoe
it's
and Aaron
and
Deppin and whatever.
Honestly,
I've seen a lot.
It is the most perfectly attuned trailer to the audience that those movies are for.
Yes.
Which is for, you know, the people that have, like, the Batmobile license plate on their car. You know, they're like,
well,
yeah, but
I've
never
seen,
read a comic or
I
whatever.
Have seen a lot of comic creators weigh in on it on Twitter.
Oh, and I'm... So you're talking about the Patrick Zurcher thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I saw that, too. Where,
I haven't heard that.
This artist, Patrick Zurcher, who actually used to draw Thunderbolts back in the day.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts.
He was talking
and
about,
Deadpool.
Like, when you guys draw... when you guys become artists on your own, you can feel free to trash the Dark Knight Returns or whatever because blah, 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 whatever. Which I guess, like, the Miller revisionism is finally getting to that, which I'm okay with because, like, guys, like, Miller never went crazy and started hating minorities and women and the government or whatever. Like, that was always there. Mm-hmm. People just accepted it.
Yeah, people were okay with it.
You know? Like, I don't know. I was actually talking to David about this, where I'm like, you know, it's weird how Superman is portrayed as looking like Ronald Reagan in Dark Knight Returns, because at this point, I think Miller is probably more of like a stereotype lunatic conservative than anyone could ever possibly portray any other Republican in history in the current, like, I guess, mindset of it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I wonder if he's getting any royalties from this. But that's neither here nor there. Like, the movie very obviously grifts stuff from that, which, I mean, that's fine to grift from it because, like, that's probably, like, the one single Batman comic that a lot of these people have read because it's in every library on the planet and has continuously been in print since it was first published. So, I don't know. Like, it
look,
is what it
and
is.
Here's my whole
and
thing.
What it is garbage.
Yeah.
Michael?
He said, Richard says it is what it is, and I said, and what it is garbage.
Here's my thing. I've always been a fan of Batman. I really like. I still read Batman. I think it's the best thing that DC publishes that is out right now. I don't know how this movie is going to be done because Batman's their cash cow, right?
Well, yeah.
And if you'll notice, nothing around Convergence involves Snyder and Capullo's Batman.
Yeah, of course not.
They don't want to fuck up a good thing. Like, it's the thing, is like...
Is this fucking up a good thing?
Oh, no. Like...
They made Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, Chris.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Batman's going to beat up Superman. Like, you cannot get more fanboy, like, wet dream.
Yeah, that's it. That's the dream.
Like,
man.
I will never forget, like... It's why I don't even talk about, like, you know, like, you have those dumb conversations where it's like, well, of course Superman could beat the Hulk, or no, Hulk could beat Superman, blah, 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 whatever. It's, like, the thing is, people always say, and God, I feel fucking sick even saying this, it's like, well, if Superman ever went out of control, like, it would eventually come down to Batman fighting him, and Batman would win because he has kryptonite. And it's like, no, he wouldn't, because Superman would just, like, blow his head off from a million miles away with his fucking heat vision.
If he's
guys.
Evil, he's just going to blow everyone
up. But he would never cross that line and kill someone, and I'm like,
he didn't.
If he's evil,
that was it.
Then, yeah,
if he's evil, then yes, he would. Like, he would just do what happens in the first issue of Irredeemable, and he would throw a fucking meteor on Batman from space.
It says Superman has a bit of compassion.
But at the same time, people assume that Kryptonite kills Superman, but no, it just takes away his ability to use his powers, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... Like, if you stab him with it, yes, he can probably die. But I imagine if you're a normal person, you get stabbed with, like, a fucking, like, mineral rock, like, in your liver.
It might
kill
you're
probably
too,
gonna die. So, yeah, I don't know. But this is absolutely keyed up for that sort of thing. Like, you know, it is, like... Like, I mean, I'm not joking when I call the movie Batman is better than Superman the movie, because that's what it is. Like, Batman has the moral high ground. And like I was talking about last week, like... Superman can kill people, and that makes him cool, and it makes him acceptable because he's dark and edgy. If Batman kills someone, then people will flip the fuck out. And they do that in the Nolan movies, but they kind of do it in a half-assed way where he's not pulling a gun point-blank on someone's face and shooting them between the eyes.
He never directly kills anyone.
It's not like getting his neck snapped like in Man of Steel, which everyone's like, why do you hate that? And I'm like, because it... Like, as much as the rest of the movie was, like, just disgusted with the fact that, like, the people making it wanted nothing to do with the character, like, that's the moment where they just demonstrate that they have no idea who the character is.
And I don't understand why they don't get writers who write the comic books.
To do the screenplays?
To do the movies!
Eh. I mean, they did for Thor, too.
David Goyer.
Yeah, David Goyer has written comics. He wrote
JSA,
for a bit. And I think he's done some other stuff.
He's done a lot of stuff, yeah. I know he wrote some Marvel Knights shit, too.
But the Thor 2 writers were Chris Yost and Chris Kyle.
JMS wrote some of the first.
Apparently they're writing on...
forget that.
Yeah, I'm going to forget that. Apparently they're working on Thor Ragnarok as well. But...
My choice for Richard to watch is Babylon 5.
Fuck you. I don't know. Like, a lot of them just don't want to do it because they're not screenwriters, but we'll see. I think at this point it's like more and more comic projects like...
Don't forget Jeff Loeb is writing all that shit too. All the TV shit.
He's just not a producer. Writing. No, he's just...
He's rewriting. That's what producers... That's what he does. His job is to rewrite to make sure that all of the consistency stays within. So
yeah.
You will see his words on screen, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
As long as it's not his plots.
Well, I mean, he is coming up with the creative discussions for it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I don't know. But
he's part of that hive mind.
As more and more, like, comics just become pitches for TV shows and movies, which is essentially what, like... any image book is at this point, it seems like. I mean, it really is. Like, shit. It's getting ridiculous.
It was at first, and then it wasn't, and now it is again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Like, in no way, shape, or form was Walking Dead, like...
A comic pitch, yeah. Or a movie.
Yeah, it was a comic.
It was a comic.
It was supposed to be... It was only going to be a comic.
I kind of wonder if that isn't why non-player is finally coming back.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, also, he just needs to finish it.
5 years, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, I mean, as Scott Snyder might write a hell of a Batman comic, Chris, but I don't know if he wants to do a screenplay, because that will take him off of writing the Batman comic, for one.
You're probably right.
And he just might not have the training for it, because, I mean, you'd... A lot of, like, the comic scripts are written similar to screenplays, but, you know, I don't know, you do things differently.
But there's a lot that you can do in comics that you can't do on, because you have to think about budget, and you have to think about practical effects and special effects whenever you're writing a screenplay.
Yeah, and honestly, like, he may just not want to. He may just be more about the comics than he does the ancillary media. Like, God, if I was writing Batman and someone said, you want to write Batman versus Superman for Zack Snyder, I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? I'd rather roll myself in goddamn whale oil and set myself on fire. I would not be polite about it. I was like, no, I don't want to work for that fucking hack. I wouldn't help him order a fucking sandwich. But, you know, I don't know. Like, Batman gets to beat up Superman, which is, like, pretty much the point of the movie, and he has the moral high ground, which is super important, you know.
And he has glowy eyes.
I mean, people don't tend to remember the other big fight between Batman and Superman, quote-unquote, which is Kingdom Come, but that's because, like, Batman is the man in it. Like, he's the bad guy, he's the antagonist.
I mean,
he gets a ton of people killed in the process of doing so. So, I mean, I don't know.
That's why, like, everyone is all against that now. Kingdom Come.
Are they all against Kingdom Come?
Yeah. It's a growing resentment towards Kingdom Come.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I don't get it. But that's me.
No, it's because Batman's evil in it. He's the bad guy. What else can you say? Like, that is automatic. I hate it. Like, the only good guy in Injustice is Batman, right? Because, I mean, the game is just Squadron Supreme, to a degree.
I don't know, Chris. Do you know?
What?
With Injustice, there's two factions. It's because some of the people from the main universe go over. Batman's evil in Injustice, too. There's an evil Batman in Injustice.
Batman?
Yeah.
Two Batmen?
There's the Insurgent Batman, and then there's the...
In Injustice, the video game.
Yes.
How'd they write it? Oh, Insurgent. Wait, I was thinking Convergence.
Yeah. Insurgent. The Insurgent ones are either the Rebellion in that universe or the ones from our universe that went over. And then there's the ones that are with Superman and his...
Boy, it seriously is just fucking Squadron Supreme.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the Batman-Superman trailer is literally just... The movie for the people that were way into an Injustice. Like, that's what it is.
Do you bleed?
Yeah.
You will.
There's an audience for it. It's not me.
Anyway, it exists.
Apparently there was even an actual Rogue One teaser at Celebration.
How? Have they shot anything?
You mean a poster?
No, a teaser.
Where did they show this?
At Celebration.
Is this the thing you sent?
No, that's the new Fantastic Four trailer.
Oh.
I'm sure that's a Garden of Heavenly Delights. And,
well, also, the Battlefront, they released the official Battlefront trailer. Star Wars Battlefront, the EA game.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never played a Battlefront.
Man, they're awesome.
Scott really loves that.
They're really fun games, and this one looks amazing.
I mean, I don't know, aren't they PC games?
They were console games, too.
Console games.
I mean,
I say that having played the majority of my Star Wars games on the PC.
Like, you played all your fucking Star Wars games on PCs, jerk.
Dude, it's Call of it's Call of Duty, Coruscant.
I do have Jedi Knight 2 on GameCube though.
Man, that was a great game.
Yeah, it is. But you could do more crazy stuff on the PC, like spawn stormtroopers all in a conga line and then chop all their heads off.
I played it on the PC. I just have it on the GameCube, which is good because it is pretty. It's worth a lot on the GameCube.
Nice. I bet.
And they're not calling them spinoff films; they're calling them anthology films.
So where's the teaser?
It the teaser, it says it has not surfaced yet. They just showed this.
So they show
the
like
the second article I just sent. The second thing I just sent.
Oh, so I see it.
They show Felicity Jones in like the X-wing outfit, and they pan up from her boots to her holding the helmet, and that's the teaser, I bet. Because what else do they have?
It says, moments ago, the Star Wars Celebration app, this is from Inside the Magic on Disney website. Moments ago, at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, the first details of Star Wars Rogue One were reviewed along with a first look at the teaser spinoff film. The movie was set between episodes 3 and 4 and centers on a mission to steal the Death Star plans. The panel that discussed the film featured directors Gareth Edwards and Josh Trank. The brief teaser looked like a flyover a jungle of Yavin with a TIE fighter flying in frame over the camera, which pans up to see the Death Star. Trailer has not surfaced online yet. The official name for these films is not spinoff, but rather anthology. During the panel, Edwards said he found it interesting that there were no Jedi during this period, that a group of people without magical powers have come together to join forces to save the galaxy. He wants the movie to, quote, feel real. The world of this movie is not black and white or good versus evil, leaving lots of gray area. Felicity Jones plays a rebel soldier in the film. The movie emphasizes the war aspect of Star Wars.
Please. I mean, you could not get that less.
No magical powers.
There were no Jedi during this period. I found that fascinating. I didn't watch the other movies. I have no idea why, but...
Except the fact that he's directly contradicting Star Wars Rebels.
And Star Wars, man. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi's around.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And Darth Vader's
fucking
around.
Darth Vader and Emperor Palpatine. Like, they're not Jedi, but they have magic powers, quote-unquote, if you just want to call the Force that. No, he's a huge Star Wars fan, and he's loved it all his life, and that's why they picked him. I mean, I'm sure he does love Star Wars. It's just, man.
You watch the Fantastic Four thing?
No, this is the Rogue One.
More than 1,000 generations.
Well, man, that's too bad. I guess that means they've rolled film, and it's too late to fire him.
Yep. God damn it.
I mean, that's all well and good. I don't know why you would make that trailer right now.
Just to have something to show, I guess, because that's Richard
Taylor. I mean, I guess
you
think you would put that trailer in front of Star Wars in December.
I'm sure they'll have something more than that because, you know, I don't know. Does it come out next year?
It's every Christmas for the next 6 years.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There is a Star Wars movie every Christmas for the next 6 years.
Cool. Well, I guess, like, with that many, the odds are they will book someone better for one of these than fucking Josh Trank and Gareth Edwards. Oh, boy. Yeah.
But, yeah, you should totally pause it and watch that Fantastic Four trailer.
Beginning of the movie is just they watched Interstellar and then reshot it. They're like,
yeah, good God,
exactly that is definitely like a movie.
Well, I just have to say, real quick, the Cubs just made one of the greatest plays ever.
And did they lose?
No. Shut up.
What? You can make a great play and still
lose.
No,
I know. That's why I'm laughing, because it's the Cubs.
John Lester, who is a pitcher that they acquired from the Red Sox. The San Diego Padres guy hit the ball. John Lester caught it. It got stuck in his glove. The guy was running to first, so all John Lester could do was take his glove off and throw it to the first baseman. Good the Lord. First baseman dropped his glove, caught it, and got the guy out. It was neat. Awesome.
That is pretty neat, actually.
Sounds like a movie.
Kind of does, actually.
Well, it will be in the movie of the Cubs winning the World Series this year.
You're funny.
Top of the division right now.
Cool. Hey, what is this, April? Ah, interesting.
Do you know where they normally were in April?
Probably the bottom.
Yeah.
They still have time to get to the bottom. Mm.
All right.
Hey, Michael.
Mm-hmm. We have 6 months.
What song do Chicago Cubs fans sing before the bottom of the ninth inning?
What song, Kinzel?
Nobody knows. They've all left by then. Kinzel's cub joke for the week.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I love you, buddy.
That's pretty good. That's pretty great.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
Way to go.
All right.
Michael speech.
I say this because if I keep doing it enough, maybe they actually will win.
No, I want them to never win.
Oh, it's going to happen. Yes, and this year's a very good chance.
Anyway.
I just think it's funny with Comics Alliance. Like, I see so many articles on my Facebook feed. And then I click on them, and they're from, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah, their Twitter does that.
And I'm just like, it cracks me up. I'm like, hey, write some more.
But they also publish stuff from Screen Crush as well, which is where I saw that article where it's like, everyone can take a breath of relief. Female director and female screenwriter chosen for Wonder Woman movie, so everything in the world is right. And I'm like, man, way to take a dump on George Perez. Like,
yeah.
Well, I think the woman who left,
oh, Michelle McLaren,
yeah, I think she's going to I think that
people are saying that she's rumored for Captain Marvel, which, yeah, would be fucking hilarious.
It'd be great
because it's just trading off the two directors, like, I think apparently in the entire world.
Yeah, there's only two women directors.
Yeah, and only, and if, as the, like, you know, those only two can do action, even, like, I'm not saying that's true, but that's, like, the mindset that's kind of, like, being put forth by this.
Apparently, the woman who wrote Guardians is writing.
Yeah, Nicole Pearl.
Yeah, Pearlman, Nicole Pearl.
Or Nicole Pearl. I can't remember. I mean, we'll see. Apparently, in her original script, like, Carol was the Star-Lord role, and she was from Earth, and she had stolen the orb, from what I remember, once upon a time.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Actually, I finally watched that the Babadook movie the other day, and, like, that lady's super talented, and they should just get her on, like, a giant fucking movie, because that's just what happens now, is you direct one well-received, small-budget kind of independent
movie,
get and
the
then
giant
suddenly
movie.
You're the amazing, big-time, super pandemonium shadow show fucking AAA-plus goddamn gold standard project, you know?
What's Babadook?
Yeah, it's this horror movie that came out last year that everyone kind of flipped their wigs over.
Okay.
It's interesting. First 40 minutes of it are really great. The last 15 minutes of it are pretty good. But, you know. But movie looks fucking great for how it was shot for, like, $1 million, if even that. But, you know. And honestly, like, I like that better than I like Looper, which is presumably the pitch project for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Especially in how people were like, like, I know that, like, this is why fucking reviewers are dangerous. It's so much of, like, the Looper reviews were like, this is a lived-in world and blah, blah, blah. It's just like Star Wars. It's that exact kind of incredible world-building that made you believe in it, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I'm guessing that the Gareth Edwards pitch movie was Monsters, which is fucked.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So people were like, yeah, we should get this guy in something cool, because, like, that movie did cost nothing, and it looks,
hey,
like it.
Did you see the trailer for the Attack on Titan?
No, you told me it looks like they spent money on it.
Oh my god, excellently they spent money. Yeah, like they spent money on a Japanese anime adaptation.
Live action thing?
Yeah, looks pretty good. You know, I mean, that guy's, I love that guy's Gamera.
Hey,
so.
I'll tell you one thing right now.
Oh, it's the Gamera guy?
Yeah, he's, you know, doing Godzilla.
Of all the live action adaptations that Japan has ever done, my favorite's still the Ace Attorney movie.
They did a Phoenix Wright movie?
Yep. Yeah, Takashi Miike.
Yeah,
and
Takashi
it was
Miike
freaking
it.
Amazing.
Did he just say, objection, a lot?
No, he didn't. I mean, he does.
They gave them their hair from the video game, which is pretty funny.
They did, and they gave them their costumes from the video game. I mean, like,
I mean, Takashi Miike doesn't give a fuck. If something looked, if he, like, that dude does not think of any, he's like, I can't put this on screen because it will look stupid. Like, he never thinks that ever. And if you don't believe me, go watch Zebra Man.
The judge looks almost exactly like the judge. I mean, like, it's uncanny how much the judge looks like
The judge,
the animated version of the judge,
the game.
It's a really fantastic movie, and unfortunately, it is not readily easy to get a hold of right now. But
yeah, nobody licenses those anymore. Because of stuff like Ghost Train doing badly.
I mean, I'd be willing to, even if it was on Blu-ray, I'd be willing to import it.
But yeah, I mean, I only bring up Attack on Titan. I don't have too much interest in seeing that or anything, but, you know, Shinji Higuchi.
Watch it, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I will, but I'm just saying Shinji Higuchi is directing Godzilla with Anno.
That's going to be a treat.
That's going to be the fucking bomb. I mean, he's the, like, Higuchi's the guy that came up with the multiple rays in End of Eva. That was his entire idea. And everyone did, like, apparently at the Gainax creative meeting for the movie, people would went like, oh, holy shit. So, you know.
But yeah.
I mean, Gainax is making a Godzilla movie. I think it's the greatest thing ever. I couldn't think of anything better. I couldn't think of a better...
Firing Gareth Edwards and Josh Trank off Star Wars and hiring them for Star Wars?
No, anything better for Godzilla is what I mean.
Oh, okay. Then yes. Well, going back in time and erasing the Gareth Edwards one, maybe.
Yeah, well, it's American. I don't give a shit about it. I really don't. Like, it matters nothing. The other one doesn't either. Like,
fair enough.
No one cares about him. No one cares about that fucking Godzilla now anyway. I mean, honestly, it's a fart in the wind at this point.
It kind of is, but... I don't know.
So
how did we get on
all
that? I don't remember now.
Well, Punisher, it's fine.
But yeah.
That's it.
Book that lady for some big genre thing because, like, the other ones, her stuff was good. Have her do a Punisher TV series, sure.
And do it on Netflix.
I can almost guarantee that's going to happen because I think that's one of the things where everyone is talking about it.
Well, apparently.
And I think they were already planning it.
Steven DeKnight has said that there is a chance that a second season of Daredevil will happen before Defenders.
God, I would hope so. Fucking ride that horse into the sunset.
That will run concurrently with Luke Cage.
And, AKA Jessica Jones.
But Jessica Jones is happening before the end of the year.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is happening in, I think, November. Oh, so
I just wanted to say AKA Jessica Jones. Oh, yeah. That's really all I wanted to say.
Because,
I mean, I could
to
give a
fair,
fuck about Defenders, honestly, in comparison.
To be fair... I'm excited about AKA
Iron
Jessica
Fist and
Jones.
Daredevil kick a bunch of ninjas in the face.
AKA
together.
AKA Jessica Jones.
That's pretty good to me. What are you talking about?
AKA Jessica Jones, I'm looking forward to because I enjoyed Alias. I don't know what they're going to do with 13 episodes of Luke Cage.
Well, he's already going to be in like half of Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, yeah.
So, who knows?
I don't know. Maybe he's going to go to fucking Dr. Doom's castle and ask for... them to pay his goddamn bill.
The only thing that I can think of is that Iron Fist will be introduced in Luke Cage, and we'll get the Kunlun stuff in the Iron Fist TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's what's going to happen.
Because, well, they've already laid the foundation for that in Daredevil. I don't know.
Why don't you just tell me fucking everything, no, Michael? Well,
spoilers!
No, hang on.
Blanton over
the
here,
one thing
right,
I'll tell
Chris?
You should have already
spoilers
seen.
Blanton.
Fucking should have gotten. No. Like, I started watching that on Thursday night when it posted at 3 in the morning because I was like, I have to watch this as fast as possible because everyone's going to spoil it.
Listen, you're on the stick episode.
I already
right?
knew that. Like, Jace told me that there was a thing.
Yeah.
If you paid attention to the fucking heroin. If you paid attention to the heroin, you would have seen it to begin with.
Well, we already talked about that.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Kinzel, do you have any
just
idea
tell
what
tell me everything
about?
Now. Just lay it on the spoilers.
I was trying to beat the clock and see the costume debut before someone spoiled
yeah, but,
the images of it. But then
yeah,
Netflix,
but it was Netflix
updated
spoiled it for
the
you.
Fucking
yeah.
image mm-hmm. yeah. like by the end of the weekend. And I was like, oh, cool, guys. Fuck you, too.
Kinzel, are you aware of what we're talking about, the Iron Fist connection?
Was it the symbol that he has on it? The symbol on the heroin was tied in some way? I thought it was tied into the hand.
The symbol on the heroin...
What? The hand's in the show? God damn it, Chris! I'm kidding. Jace told me that, too.
No, the hand's not in the show. I just was assuming that that was what happened. They're going to tie the hand into it in the future.
Well, Nobu is the hand, and but anyway, now the symbol on the heroin is the Steel Serpent's symbol,
yeah.
And There's a lot of speculation that the little old Chinese lady is a character that is very important to the Brubaker Iron Fist mythos.
Oh, what? The Bride of Nine Spiders or whatever?
Crane Mother.
Oh. Well, okay, fair enough.
And...
Wait, do you think...
What? There's a little old Asian lady on the show. What the fuck? Michael!
I've been trying for a week!
And then, I mean, like, there's... They do... The way that they are integrated into the Marvel Asian Cinematic Asian Universe...
It's pretty good.
The way that they integrate into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I thought was really good. Hell's Kitchen is needing repairs because of the Battle of New York. And, you know, it's not too...
There's a Battle of New York!
What the fuck? Oh, my God.
So...
Damn it, Michael! I'm still watching Kramer versus Kramer back here. You gotta give me time to catch up.
God, just don't get stuck on the Hurt Locker. You'll never watch it. Right, Jason?
Yeah. I'll never watch it. I like when Silver Surfer shows up at the end of this.
Well, yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm glad they got the rights back.
Man, they nailed Galactus. Yeah.
I don't know if you know or not, but Man-Thing.
That should be the next Eating Netflix in the series.
Yeah. No, the Netflix original movie. Man.
Oh, giant-sized man thing.
Poor man thing. He gets no respect.
Yeah, it's certainly not in Toy Fair.
Whatever. That was incredible.
That was the greatest. It just was, you know, making fun of man thing. There's no respect. He's not Swamp Thing.
No, yeah, they set up so much stuff for the rest of the Defenders stuff in Daredevil. I was really impressed. The stick episode at the end, like, I'm curious who that was. I think I know who it is.
Oh, it's Stone. I already read that.
Oh, it is?
What the fuck, Richard? I've been trying not to read anything about this.
I didn't know it was Stone. Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
So did you guys hear that Furious 7 crossed $1 billion in 17 days worldwide?
That's pretty impressive. $1 billion in 7 days?
Yeah, it's now at $1.1 billion after it's number one again this weekend.
Well, I guess we're getting another one.
I'm kind of curious what Star Wars is going to make, honestly.
Oh, jeez.
Like, Jason argues that it could be the highest grossing movie of all time.
It could.
What, Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's... I mean, the 700 threshold is within reach, and Avengers 2 might come pretty close, and I think Star Wars is probably going to top that. I mean, Phantom Menace made $430 million its first run in 1999. Inflation, I think that's around... 680, maybe close to 700, and I think the anticipation for this post watching may be higher. So I don't know.
Well, remember before
if any
Avatar
movie has a chance,
came out, like Jace always said this. He was like, imagine how much money Phantom Menace would have made had people liked it.
Yeah,
and yeah, if people liked the prequels, they would have made $1 billion.
Made $1 billion. Like, I mean, Attack of the Clones. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, $300 million is bullshit for a Star Wars. Like, that sucks. I mean, if Phantom Menace, if people had loved that, that movie would have made, oh my God, we wouldn't be able to touch it. $850 million, you know? So I feel like this is probably going to do it. I don't know if Avengers 2 will break Avatar. It probably will finally overtake
Titanic.
So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe not in China, because... I mean, Titanic, when it was released again worldwide, made like another $350 million or something. Like China, it made $150 million in China alone, the 3D of Titanic.
Showed Fury 7's made $250 in China.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like the movie studios are forcing them.
I mean, I don't know. Had Titanic come out there before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll go watch this movie.
But it did come out before China was a fucking gigantic market for movies.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, let's wrap up with the the exchange stuff, I guess, or the switch off or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Are we calling it exchange with an X?
Yeah, that's cool.
The what?
Well, we'll wear pouches and belts.
Yeah.
Belts with pouches.
We should bitch, we're all wearing belts and pouches.
Yeah.
We can have communicators that we tap each other and it's got an X button.
Yeah, and then we can use all my Nerf guns and
yes.
Life
perfect.
Belt. Yeah.
I'll never forget that day when I walked into your house with the Nerf gun with a note on it that yeah. just said, defend yourself.
That was a pretty fun day.
That was a great day.
John Dennis and I had a lot of fun. Were you there already, Michael? I'm pretty sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was caught in the crossfire.
That's right. Yeah. It's pretty great. Richard missed it all, I think.
And then, like, I was caught in the crossfire, and then I was gathering, like, the Nerf darts
yeah,
that had
right.
shot at me to try. And Jason had just gotten that goddamn battery-powered Gatling gun.
Yeah, and I got a two-shot pistol.
Yeah, it was great. Well, I left other guns for you to find. You just had that one at first. They were laid out. That was the fun part. You had to find the good ones. It was like a video game. You get the shitty gun at first, and you find the better games later. It's guns later.
Unless it's Unreal Tournament, in which case the best gun is the shitty gun.
Oh, I don't play Unreal.
The game with.
I don't play Unreal Tournament.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
He's too good for it.
I'm too good for it. I don't play those games.
Too cool for that.
I'm too,
too cool for facing that, worlds.
Yeah, I'm not going to play Unreal Tournament. Jesus Christ.
The best.
All you people are way better than I am.
Multiplayer map ever because you can't hide, really.
Yeah. I remember one time that you and Robert were playing Unreal Tournament in the room together.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I used to do the same thing with my brother with Outlaws.
Yeah. I don't play multiplayer games. I'm not good at them. Mm. We all know it.
It's no fun unless
say
you can win, right?
I mean, sort of. I mean, if you're completely fucking awful at it, then yeah, it's not really fun. I mean, if you play baseball and all you do is trip on yourself, no, it's not really fun. Aww. But if you're pretty good at it and don't win, that's different. If you're completely terrible and have zero chance of winning, yeah, it's not fun. It's like trying to play. I mean, do you like playing Halo with people?
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's not fun at all.
I don't know. I've always found it pretty fun to get the rocket launcher and then shoot it directly into the ground to see how high I could get my corpse to bounce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you could do the rocket jump, where you jump up, you shoot the rocket, and then the explosion carries you further.
Yeah, like when I
without
played,
killing you.
When I played Halo, we'd try to do stupid things like drive the car up the side of like the base and get it stuck on the roof.
I think we all know Jason Lynch is not someone that has fun. I have a goal and I have to accomplish it. I don't have fun.
It's fun for someone to find you and then start shooting you, and instead of trying to shoot them with the rocket launcher, you just kill yourself, so you steal the satisfaction of them getting that point.
You think you're going to get this point, motherfucker?
Yeah.
And then you accidentally get a kill shot on them because they're so close to the rocket explosion.
The problem with that is I can't even find a way to kill myself in those games. I don't have a way to accidentally do it because I can never find the rocket launcher. I'm not good enough.
He's like, I can't get his hand up to his head.
I can't do it. It's like my life.
So, you know how when they talk in the first Lord of the Rings movie, The Fellowship of the Rings, when they found the Balrog that they delved too greedily and too deep.
Yeah.
Remember that quote?
Mm-hmm.
I just delved too greedily and too deep into Reddit about the new Avengers movie.
Oh, God. You found out everything?
Spoil the movie?
No, I just saw the post-credit scene.
Oh, can you send that over to me so I can look at it?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want Richard to look. Don't look, Richard.
Yeah, I don't
want
to look at it.
Is it a video?
Yes.
Shit, that was
It's bad. The second video on the screen.
All right.
Take your headphones off, Richard. Second video.
Man,
what's happening, my film nerds? Dave with the film
channel. Second
one.
2 weeks away.
Second video.
I'm turning it all the way down.
You know, Eddie on Action Figure Blue said he bought his tickets to watch it on the 22nd, and I was like, how is he watching it on the 22nd?
It's a good question.
Of May. Is it coming out on
the 23rd? I think it might come out earlier.
You see it, Jason?
Yes. Yeah.
The other Marvel movies have in other countries. They always seemingly have. It's very annoying to me.
That looks fake.
It may be fake.
I think that's fake.
I mean,
is it over?
I don't know why you'd have Batman show up in the Avengers. That seems ridiculous. Oh, shit! Sorry, Richard.
He goes up to Thor. Do you bleed?
Spoilers, Asgard.
It's totally bullshit when Arnold shows up naked.
Terminators appear.
Yeah.
And John Connor is Ultron.
Oh God. Yeah. Did you know about that?
What?
Did you watch the new Genesis trailer?
No.
I watched it.
Oh yeah, the John Connor's back now.
Is he really?
And it's in the trailer.
That's the twist, yeah.
They just fucking show it in the trailer.
He's like a T-2000.
Boy, they're really fucking desperate, aren't they?
Yes. Yes.
So Jason Clark is a T-2000.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, he has 2-1000 powers plus other ones, so I just assume that's what they're going to call
it. They already have a T-1000 in the movie.
I know. That's why he's a T-2000.
Storm Shadow.
That's why he's a T-2000.
That is Storm Shadow, isn't it?
I didn't even realize that.
I didn't realize that either. That's kind of cool.
Not yeah, man. Really. Got to make those big-time South Korea dollars.
Pew, pew, pew.
Not that I think he's bad or
anything. Let's get to the exchange.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Sorry.
It was an interesting thing.
I bet it was. I bet it was.
It may be fake. It may be real. Who knows?
Well, when I see the movie, you guys can tell me what it was, and we'll see.
Yeah, it's a good.
Thing.
That's a good point.
But
It was Eddie Munster.
And then Herman in the background.
Darn! 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 Darn!
No, we find out the plot was some crazy grandpa scheme. Actually, I would watch that.
Well, Vision has a widow's peak.
All right.
That's funny. All right, let's talk about
it. So, okay. Michael picked Revolutionary War for us to read, as last time I picked Psycho Pass for everybody to watch. So, yes, Revolutionary War, the 2014 Marvel limited series about the Marvel UK characters from the late 80s and early to mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like a... I guess since what's probably going to end up being like this send-off for them at this point, because I don't think that they're doing anything with them for Battle World.
Captain Britain had a book.
True, but isn't it Captain Britain in, I don't know, the Order of Camelot or something?
I thought it was Captain Britain and the Mighty Avengers is what they showed it.
Oh. Well, I mean, I guess they could be Mighty Avengers, but... Eh. I wonder who's writing that. I wonder if it's Al Ewing, the guy who's been writing the Captain America and the Mighty Avengers
book.
Maybe
it's Paul Cornell.
It could be. I don't think he's doing anything right now.
Mm-hmm. He took some time off from writing comics to do his novels, but I think he's done with all those now, the trilogy. So, but,
yeah. All right. So what'd you guys think? I'll go last.
I want to go last.
Well, let me
Chris, you go first.
Let me speak to why I chose this real quick, because I way back in the day had some, like, it was in a quarter bin at my old comic shop in Harlan, which I don't know where he got some of his stuff, because I know it wasn't people in the county selling comics. I think
convention,
he went,
man.
I guess he went to conventions and bought product for his shop. But there were some old Marvel UK books, like actual Marvel UK magazines. And they were the large magazine format, so they were, you know, whatever size magazines were back then. 11x7? No, they weren't that big, were they?
Dang.
Yeah. 24x38.
Yeah,
I collected movie posters for like 20 years. I couldn't tell you what their fucking dimensions are.
You know, I still to this day, I have to look it up every time.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I have to get a frame, I'm like, what is the fucking dimension again?
Yeah.
But,
I think it's 11x27, but don't quote me on that.
But one of the books...
11x27? I think it's 27 by like 40-something or something, right?
Sure,
42x27 or something?
Eh.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway.
It's like 11 inches. It's like...
So, Michael, you picked these books because you had old books.
Yes. And, like, one of the books that I had actually picked up that I really enjoyed was Motormouth from Marvel UK. And I just thought it was kind of neat because her and oh, what's his face? Killjoy?
Killpower.
Killpower. Yeah, yeah, Killpower. They would jump into alternate realities, which I think is partially one of the reasons I like alternate reality stories so much. I always liked books that did that. And then, of course, when Captain Britain, when the Alan Davis and Alan Moore Captain Britain came out, I was totally enamored and absorbed with that because of the Captain Britain core and, you know, the nexus of realities and all that fun stuff. And
the Lady of the Lake.
Yes, you know, and Merlin and fucking Saturnine and all that fun stuff. So I was a big fan of Captain Britain. I liked Motormouth. You know, there were in the Marvel UK stuff, there was, you know, some Black Knight stuff. And I've always loved the Black Knight. He's a fantastic character. He's one of my favorite kind of on-again, off-again characters. I liked in the, what was it, late 80s, mid-90s when he was a member of the Avengers.
Dude, he's a member in the 70s.
Yeah, well, I guess it was in the 70s, too, yeah. So, because there was a lot
in the 60s.
A little bit of crossover.
Too, yeah.
He shows up, actually, in one of the first issues that Ultron's in. Back when Ultron was still disguised as the Crimson Cowl. I think it's, like, Avengers number 56. Don't quote me on that.
Okay. But I liked the crossover, and I liked, you know, I liked the UK heroes, and, of course, MI-13 and, you know, Captain Britain and MI-13 that introduced Pete Wisdom. Well, the Pete Wisdom mini introduced Pete Wisdom, but...
Dude, Excalibur introduced Pete Wisdom.
Well, reintroduced him. Like,
yeah,
as a,
well, de-comicified him.
Yeah, right.
I guess.
Made him into the agent instead of the... Yeah. And, of course, yes, Excalibur. I mean, that was always... I actually... got a signed copy of the Excalibur trade from Wizard whenever it came out.
Oh, Wizard.
Yeah, so...
I was thinking about that the other day. Remember when the only way to get comic book merchandise was to buy it through, like, mail order?
Yeah.
Like, I was so happy.
Dude. Yes.
Dreaming about having that old Spider-Man and Venom t-shirt that they had in the back of, like, every Marvel comic in, like, 1992. Because it was the only way I knew you could get a Spider-Man t-shirt.
What a dorky kid. Jesus.
Shut up, nerd.
But,
what a world we live in now, huh?
Yeah, so...
embarrassed Mr. Burgess.
What do you want for Christmas, little Richard?
I would like a Spider-Man and Venom shirt.
I never got that shirt, thank you.
To this day.
Anyway.
So when you're 40 and Santa finally shows up in real, that's what you get under the tree.
So basically,
the moon.
So basically, Marvel UK had a very strong place in my childhood, and now I'm ready for you guys to rip into it and tell me how bad you hated this book.
I didn't hate it.
Well, why would you?
I didn't
just,
hate it either.
I'm playing.
It
I'm playing.
Did you think we would enjoy it or what?
I was hoping that you would.
Okay.
So Kenzel, you can go first since nobody else wants to.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, overall, I like the story. There are a couple of questions I have, Michael.
Yes.
I think it was in, I don't remember if it was in issue one or two, because it's been a long time since I've read these.
Yeah.
What was the first guy? Killpower.
Mm-hmm.
He says, just like my Uncle Logan says.
Yes.
Explain that to me.
Killpower is not a nephew of Logan, but he was trained by Logan.
Okay.
And Killpower, very childlike. I mean, well, he is a kid. He's a kid with these powers. So he considered Wolverine his Uncle Logan.
Okay.
But if I'm not mistaken, I think it was even Captain Britain who brought Logan over to train him up to kind of... turn him into a weapon instead of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Liability. So.
Because not knowing a lot of these characters, it was hard for me to.
Yeah, of course.
To get in. I mean, Captain Britain's really like the only one that I even had, like, and you know, we had seen Death's Head and, what was it? Oh, it was when Iron Man went to space.
In Iron Man, yes.
Yes.
We had seen Death's Head. And, you know, I've seen a couple of these guys, you know, like just here or there, like the Black Knight we read. The Avengers world kind of stuff. On the whole, I thought it was a fine book. I don't know how long I would need to I felt like it jumped around a little too much. I don't understand why it was just all the number ones. Why didn't they just call it the Revolutionary War and just make it a miniseries?
Each one just focused on like a different character.
Yeah, because they wanted
that. You can still do that, but
they wanted to focus on. They wanted to give Motormouth another book, and they wanted to, you know, the Knights of
Pendragon,
Knights of Pendragon, and Death's Head, and I guess it was just a way so that people could know which characters they were focusing on.
Okay, and I get that, but I don't know. While I enjoyed it, I found it difficult to get into. And almost even read through at times just because I didn't have a very good understanding of what was going on.
And that's another reason why
the history of Marvel UK and all that kind of stuff. So that's really my biggest two cents about it. Because I liked it, but I don't know how long I would keep reading it.
Well, I mean, if it had been an ongoing thing, then they would have slowed that down a lot and you would have had a really
you're probably right about
that. Everybody. I mean, I really think that, you know, with this, it was kind of and that was part of the reason I wanted you guys to read it. I was kind of curious how well it would translate over to somebody who knew nothing about Marvel UK like Chris. Because to me, you know, it was like a lot of these characters I'm familiar with and was kind of curious about how, you know, they would. I was kind of curious how they would bring, like, Dark Angel, for example, into the mix. And
boy, the setup for her being an Iron Man was nothing, which surprised me. She just shows up in Iron Man. And I thought this was going to be, like, the secret origin of that in some ways, but not really.
Not really,
I guess Kieran Gillen just really wanted to write her. So, whatever.
Yeah.
This was fine. My friend Katie, who barely knows anything about Marvel stuff at all, was buying this originally, and she was telling me about it as it happened. And, you know, I don't know. I know Captain Britain, I know Motormouth and Killpower, and of course the Death's Heads. The Knights of Pendragon I didn't know, and I didn't really get anything out of them, though that did have, like, the thing in the book that probably made me laugh the hardest was the reincarnation of the Green Knight.
Yep.
That was a funny gag, but it was sort of diluted by, like, the fucking joke with the zombie King Arthur, who is a zombie that has zombie
that
Excalibur.
Was,
and does zombie things with his zombiness. They keep having to say zombie, 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 and I'm like, I get the joke.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Well, it's like the Ninja Slayer thing. Like, if you don't laugh at Ninja Slayer, the ninja who kills ninjas.
You're just not going to get it.
Like, I don't know if you're going to enjoy the show. Like,
yeah. That's just
weird. Well, and I will say, like, of all of them.
It's one joke.
Knights of Pendragon really felt like a book that came out of that original Marvel UK era.
It was a weird book in how it's kind of like a nuke that, like, did away with a lot of stuff. I know Motormouth and Killpower, but Killpower being the bad guy didn't really necessarily have, like, the impact I think it probably should have.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if people who are intimately familiar with that character and a huge fan of
freaked out
felt very
it.
Betrayed.
I did some looking up on this, and apparently the Revolutionary War, like, sold really well, obviously, over in England for Marvel. And people were thrilled to see Killpower, even though he was the bad guy. So it was kind of one of those things like, oh, that's a cool twist. And they didn't bitch about it. They were more upset by it, by him getting killed at the end.
For me, this book didn't have a lot of subtext, so I didn't really get a lot of meat from it. Just like I said,
it's a little chocolate bonbon for the people who are deeply appreciative of those characters, I guess. The giant green African-American track star.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. Yeah, zombie.
Or African British track star, I guess.
Richard and I were talking about it while we were reading it together, and like the zombie King Arthur.
Yeah, I didn't like that joke
at all. I just really, really disliked it.
Yeah, it was very, I mean, you know, it's a fine thing on its own, but like they just kept hammering, like you need to laugh at this, and I'm like, whatever. I don't know. Like, the thing that ultimately bugged me about this was every time one of the characters I really liked showed up, they immediately got disabled and put into that machine. I was like, oh, cool, Captain Britain. I like Captain Britain. Sweet.
Yes.
He got clocked on the head and put in that machine. And I'm like, okay, well, I got Death's Head to look forward to. And then Death's Head gets clocked on the head and put in the machine. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I like the whole thing with Death's Head 1 saving Death's Head 2.
All the stuff with them was great.
Death's
Head, if this had spun out into a book that was just about the two of them, I would have really enjoyed it. Because anything with them is always funny. Just because, like, he's like, I guess I can't hurt you because if I hurt you, I'm hurting me.
And that's the only reason I'm not going to hurt you. Yeah,
and his assistant went and got the original, like Death's Head 2's assistant went and got Death's Head to save Death's Head 2. He's like, well, I wouldn't have bothered, but the price was right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. Death's Head was one of my favorites. I liked the Dark Angel book. I liked the idea of, you know, her having to work off her father's debt to Mephisto.
Yeah, anything with Kieran Gillen writing Mephisto, I usually like.
It usually is enjoyable.
Well, and that was really cool because, you know, like she has a finite amount of power and she ends up having to use it all helping Mephisto, and then apparently having to fucking reassemble Mephisto every morning.
Yep.
So it was a really fascinating. And again,
all the stuff that was set in hell, I really liked in that book. All the stuff that was set in the real world where Mystech busted in, and I was kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think other than like the characters I wanted to see getting kind of like shuffled off to be part of the plot, MacGuffin thingy do, like, I think the weak link was that Mystech is kind of boring and how they're never necessarily portrayed as individuals. Like, their backstory is very cool, but ultimately it's just like, what does the monster look like that's attacking the people in this book that's sent by Mystech? And they all tend to be techno demons that have, like, beaky-looking faces and wild hair. They all kind of look like generic 90s Ghost Rider villains in that way, like sort of like Blackheart's minions.
Well, now, I do have to say that when the issue with Captain Britain where he's seeing stuff and he sees Fury and he sees Saturnine and all that shit, that was really cool. And it kind of disappointed me that it would have been nice to see Fury again or Jasper Johns.
Real Fury?
Yeah, Real Fury.
Yeah. Because it did bug me that they just call him Nick Fury and it's, you know, Marcus Johnson
whatever. No, I'm sorry. I meant The Fury.
Oh, The Fury.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the flashback where he sees Mad Jim Jaspers.
Right.
Jim Jaspers.
And, yeah, The Fury.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking Jasper Sitwell.
Oh.
Yeah, because for a second I didn't know what you were talking about. But, yeah, no. Like, I don't know, it was fun in some ways, and in some ways I don't know if it completely worked. The climax was really neat, and the first issue was really neat. The stuff in between it kind of averaged out to be okay in summation, but there were issues that were stronger than the others. Like, I think you could have probably just read the Alpha, Death's Head, and Omega, because ultimately the Super Soldiers don't really play a role.
The Super Soldiers don't.
And that book was drawn by Brent Anderson, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Apparently,
I have a story to tell you about that.
Apparently, from what I have heard, after Secret Wars, obviously, Captain Britain's going to have stuff to do, but apparently Motormouth and Dark Angel and...
I'm kind of surprised that's not one of the Battle Worlds.
Motormouth, I think it is. I think there's one called Albion that's Marvel UK shit.
I mean, maybe that's the Captain Britain and the Mighty Avengers, yeah. And they're the Mighty Avengers, and
but
they're
I'm
working
sure
that terrible
that,
Captain Britain that everyone hates, the lady.
I'm pretty sure that Motormouth and Dark Angel and the Knights of Pendragon are going to show back up. Like, maybe it's a new Excalibur or something.
It's not the goofy Claremont book
from the
2000s where Magneto just shows up alive because he didn't want him to be dead.
Right, yeah.
After Planet X. He's like, how could anyone believe that was me? I don't know. It's like, Morrison's got some pretty good reasons to explain that. But, yeah, no, it's fine. It was fun for a lark.
All right. Well, now that that's done, my challenge was to watch Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, did you watch just the first two?
I'm up to the first two is episode one, you know, because there's two episodes, but it's considered episode one.
Yeah, they show this in hour blocks.
And I have watched up through episode four,
I've watched through episode four as well.
What was the last thing
that happened? Skunk episode.
No.
Was episode... Oh, then you've watched episode five. I'm sorry.
What was the last thing that happened?
The last thing that happened was January Jones trying to fake seduce Phil, and then he goes to talk to Kristen Schaal, and she made the heart to go on the broken door.
Okay, so nothing with, like, fireworks yet?
No fireworks yet.
Oh, man!
That was really cool.
That was one of the best.
So here's my thing, with my personal feelings on this show. I like it. I don't love it. The first thing that really kind of bothered me, and it could just be me, I didn't feel like the passage of time that they were trying to convey in the first episode.
But that he's alone for like 3 years.
Right. Was enough to make me feel like he would do not all of the shit. Because I'm sorry, if I was the last person on Earth, first thing I'd do is go raid some museums for shit. Yeah, that's fine. But to really to be as, you know, shitting in the swimming pool and all that stuff, that to that extent, I didn't buy into that.
Oh, man. Like, as the show goes on, and especially with, like, the two that just aired last Sunday, like, Phil is insane.
Yeah.
Like, he's out of his fucking mind.
No, he is.
Like, he's a fucking Looney Tune snake weirdo goofball.
Weasel.
Fuckhead.
Everything.
And I guess that's the thing is, I guess I thought...
Like, this show
has been renewed for season two as well.
Awesome.
I guess I thought that he was going to be more of a likable protagonist.
No. This is the meanest show on television.
This is super horrible. And here's the thing, every minute, like, I swear when I watch the show, sometimes I pause and I'm like, I can't bear to watch this next thing.
Let me get to that. Because
it's great.
So, you know, you get the whole Christian Schaal thing. And I was like, oh, cool. I love Christian Schaal. I mean, she's a great comedian.
Did you know she was on the show?
I did not. I did not know that she was on the show. So
I didn't know anyone else was on the show.
Yeah,
Jace told me that there was casting news.
I knew that there were other people that were going to show up. I didn't know who they were.
Then good.
And so Christian Schaal, you know, I was like, okay, cool.
That fake out worked.
and then, you know, she gets portrayed as a Looney Tune very early on.
Yeah, but she's not evil the way Phil is.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know, like it.
Yeah, that's what's kind of great about it.
As you watch it, she's more of the sympathetic character. Because whenever, you know, they get married and all that stuff, and then he goes, he takes her to introduce him to his ex-girlfriend, the mannequin. And now, I'm not going to lie, there are some gags in that show that are fantastic.
She beats the shit out of the mannequin.
And she beats the shit out of the mannequin, and that was hilarious. And there are...
And they're all, like, setting everything on fire or whatever.
Yeah, and he was in that fireproof suit and had a bunch of wigs on. And
crashes the fucking limousine.
The
limousine comes later. They roll the car down the fucking parking lot infrastructure ramp thing.
Well, that's him by himself, and he bowls. He's bowling with cars.
Yeah.
Are you going to burn down a church?
And
no, I'm not going to burn down a church.
And then, you know, the limousine crash happens.
Like, they get married, and then January Jones shows up.
Like, it's all a perfect...
Man, there's a joke right after that where she's like, you know, I wish you'd given directions to your house because I've been in town for like three weeks.
Yeah, she'd been in town.
It's so great.
She'd been in town longer than Christian.
I've been driving around here forever.
And I guess...
Because that was one of the first... When I remember reading people's... reviews of the first episode, and they're like, well, why is he just putting up that he lives in Tucson? He's not putting up his address. He should put up his address. And it's like, well, it fucking paid off, didn't assholes? Fuck off.
So I feel like now, after I got to that episode, and then, you know, he's obviously hitting on January Jones, and she likes Christian Schaal, and she doesn't like him, and all that stuff.
Oh. It's great.
And I finally have come to terms once I hit that episode. Oh, he's actually the antagonist of this show. I mean, he's not a good guy.
I don't know if I necessarily call him antagonist, but he is not a great human being. No.
And because he was unbuttoning,
awful.
He was unbuttoning his shirt whenever she was setting him up with "I'm so horny" and stuff. And I'm like,
He shaves his beard. And they were like, "Oh, I like the beard.
I like the beard." It's all this, all of it. Like the first time he meets Chris Shaw, whatever, it's just like, you know, they already don't really care about each other all that much. And they just sit there like, we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah,
the world ended, and that's nothing to talk about.
All the stuff between when she shows up and before January Jones does, like, I had to admire, because like the two of them are so committed to the fact they're just hideous people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the joke, is that they're like fucking weird Looney Tune bizarro fucking
crazy
nut jobs.
People. But then, I mean,
she's like
me,
correcting like his grammar.
It just seems like Christian Schaal, like she's doing
not ending in preposition, and they still do it. That's great.
Like, I think then, like, by that last episode that I watched, you get the feeling that Christian Schaal is doing that to make things better, to, you know, to have that semblance of the real world, you know, where grammar made a difference and you don't shit in a swimming pool. And,
are you going to burn down a church, Phil?
Yeah. And
like the third episode, I think after he gets married or before the episode before he gets married, he has the nightmare where he says, I do. And then he wakes up and he starts screaming and it zooms out from the city. And then it zooms out from the state. And then it zooms out from the country. And then it zooms out to planet Earth. Yes. And you can still hear him screaming.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
So funny.
I mean, I like the show, but I'm still not 100% like, as soon as every episode comes out, I have to watch it. But I'm liking it. I'm liking it more the further it gets.
What I love about it is it does shit. Like, the first two episodes, just like, basically the first episode is he does all this fucking weird shit, and you are supposed to think, like, what human being would do that? It was like, well, no, it's set up where he is just wrong. Everything about him is wrong. I mean, and the last man,
I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to talk to a volleyball. That's stupid.
Yeah,
like
the first got, and then
like
he's
a
got
year later, he's got like a
row of them, and he's got names for every I love that.
And then he takes them all to his bachelor party and has those lit alcoholic drinks, and then he relights that one and burns the face off the tennis ball.
Yeah, they're out in the desert when he's going to kill himself. Like, he brought them all to watch.
And he painted a target on the rock
it's
and stuff.
Great.
And
like, they were there to watch him. He's fucking nuts. He's shitting in a pool. Like, I love that shitting in the pool. Like, I love that.
And then taking a bath in the tequila. And then
he's just in the bath. Yeah, he's just in the little tub.
The little
in the pool. He's
such like a barely functioning human being. Like,
what was your job before? I worked as a temp. Oh, well, that's something, I guess. Like, and it's all her just passive aggressive shit. And where are the rings? Of course, I brought the rings. Why would I lie about that? I don't know where they are. Like,
I love the Dunk the Skunk episode. That's the last one I've watched.
Yeah, I've not seen that one yet.
Well, I'm current.
Yeah, that's the one with the fireworks at the very end.
Assume you've watched the. You watched the most current one.
And the Flying V? Night.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So are there any more people that have shown up, or is it still that awkward triangle of awkwardness?
Why would we say?
I'm just curious.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe the people that show up are the best, and you will freak out when you... I don't say anything.
Okay.
There's an inside joke on this show that is specific to us only, and to people that I know... that really makes something even better. I don't think I've told Chris any of it, so he has no idea.
Oh, you mean
nope,
about
sure
Gilpin?
Don't.
No, about the whatever.
Do I know it?
Yes.
Have I got to that point
no
yet? Okay. Huh. Interesting.
But it's a very inside joke and it has nothing to do it was probably not their intention at all. If it was, then I would give him a million gold star points for the history of mankind. I highly doubt it.
Whenever it got to the point where I realized, oh, they're portraying him as a pretty son of a bitch kind of guy.
No, he's awful. That's what I like.
He's horrible.
I kind of bought into it a little bit more because I guess I wanted him to be a sympathetic character, and I thought he was just going to be... I guess he was going to be kind of like his character in Nebraska. It's kind of how I was looking at it. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's still pathos to fill... I mean, it's not like he is pure evil. It's just that he's fucking crazy.
He's
like,
astoundingly selfish.
Well, yeah, he's to a point where it's completely comical.
He's
out of touch with reality.
He's very ruled by his id.
Yes. Like, I mean, like, there's two whole episodes of him just trying to bang January Jones. Like, that's all he wants.
Oh,
he's having this
so awkward.
Fucking existential
all he
crisis.
Does, all he does is come up with reasons, and it's so, like, oh, The best
I don't
part
want
of,
our kids to have sex.
The best part of Phil is like
I don't even want to say it.
He's so like is so close to getting things that he wants and can never get them. And it just, that's what it just fucking drives him
over
the edge.
Great joke, God. You got me.
You got me.
He's pointing at the sky and yelling at one boy in this episode. And he's like, man, like what I wouldn't just give for a do-over.
So great.
It's actually an episode called The Do-Over.
The Do-Over, yeah.
Interesting.
And it's awesome.
And it's great. Like, January Jones is technically the antagonist of the show because she is the foil for all of his like, it's like, what if, like the show is very much like, what
the
if, like...
most level-headed person is the antagonist. It's very funny.
Yeah, like, what if, like, on the Flintstones, it wasn't just like, oh, well, here comes your crazy scheme, Fred. Like, Wilma was just like, you're a fucking terrible person.
Yeah, like,
what
I can't believe you.
Do?
Get out.
Yeah, get
out. Get out of my life. You're ruining it all.
Oh, it's great.
It really is that.
Oh, the I will tell
Central.
You the the most funny, awkward things that I have seen so far, though, are the sex scenes with Kristen Schaal.
Yeah, that's and, where they're just committed that they're just fucking just weird.
Well, no, that he's just sitting there.
He's
and she's
repulsed
making
by her.
Oh, it's so
these
great
weird like, noises. And then after the first time they have sex, she's eating beans in bed. And gets like bean juice on her arm and licks it off while, as soon as he looks over. And I'm just like, wow.
You know, it's not even like, what's great about it is it's with the world has ended, right? There's no one around, and finally you see someone, and it's not even someone that is like horrifying. It's just someone that you're like, oh, well, that's the person. Okay. Like, it's great and it's perfect for that. And that's their pretty much both of their reactions. I highly appreciate this show a lot, and it's defied my expectations personally.
Yeah, it has. I expected to enjoy it. I didn't know I expected to enjoy it this much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very funny looking at the reviews, because I think all the reviewers only were able to watch the first two episodes. They're like, well, this is it's pretty funny, but I don't know how far they're going to be able to take this premise.
And every person said that, like, after that
with,
first,
you know,
two episodes.
Just, like, one guy and one lady. It
yeah,
seems like it's going to get repetitive really quick.
Okay, well, I'm sure they didn't figure it out. Yeah, they had no idea. You're so clever.
Yeah.
It's going to get old quick. All right. Yeah, that's what this show is about. Like, I didn't have a problem with that. I never worried about that. I just... I don't know. I was ready for the ride. I was like, this show's already fucking crazy.
Yeah. And I could have watched an episode of him stealing paintings from, like, you know...
I would have loved...
the Smithsonian.
Forever, you know?
Like, there's a joke with Monet's water lilies that's in, like, the most recent
yes!
episode.
Oh, my God!
It's fucking incredible.
Great. It's awesome. It's awesome. There's so much of that, too. I mean, there's just nothing like it on television. It's... new. It's so fresh and new. It's different. You just don't see anything like this where they're just that horrible. Like, it's a dark black comedy that you would normally see, you know, I guess in a movie or whatever.
Well, and not that they're just like, they're serial daters and have damaged senses of relationships.
Not at all. It's like
what the normal, like, dark network comedy thing is.
Exactly. It's exactly it.
They're like, awkward and weird, but they're also very handsome looking and they're just jerks, and that's the problem. Like, Bill's a jerk, but he's like a freak.
Yes. How far can we go? That's the show.
Yes.
And all the actors are, like, right on board.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Yes, they are.
Recommend.
Recommended, yeah.
So hopefully Michael will catch up at some point.
I need to get caught up.
I will. I have no doubt about
that. Oh, Chris.
Yeah, you should, Chris.
Oh, Chris.
If people start watching this show, it's going to be one that's spoiled constantly.
What was the last one that he saw?
Was the last one I saw was the Dunk the Skunk episode.
That was the last one you saw?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, you got so much to go.
I know. I need to get
Fascinating. I'm excited that you get to see it then. It's I love the show.
So what did we decide? It's my turn to pick for all you guys, right?
Yep. And I think Jace picks for you.
And I pick for you. Because
I picked for you guys to watch the Scientology documentary Going Clear on HBO.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, after it released, Daredevil is the second most pirated TV show after Game of Thrones.
I'm not surprised. Because a lot more people have Netflix.
Because a lot of people don't have Netflix yet.
Or they're
get a free month!
Well, they're in countries that don't have Netflix as well. I don't know where
out.
Those countries are. I know that when I was in Spain and I was trying to use Netflix Instant on my iPad, it's like, Netflix is restricted to this country. And I'm like, oh, well, okay.
I know Australia and New Zealand just now got it. which seems odd to me that it took that long to get there.
Chris, have you ever seen the Masters of the Universe movie?
No.
That's my choice for you then.
Okay.
Okay, that's friggin' awesome, and we have to watch that again before we record.
Yeah, that. I don't know. It's not available on Netflix. I didn't know it'd be easy to get to.
No,
I'll track it down.
No.
How dare they?
I have this big giant list, and I didn't know if he had watched a few of these things. Because there's, there's definitely anime I know he's never seen, and maybe some older
all
movies.
All of it?
Yes. Like Angel Cop. I'll just buy it from half price.
Like, or, no, you could just watch that little cut compilation on YouTube and get the whole gist of it.
Yeah.
Angel Cop abridged or whatever.
Make Chris watch Garzy's Wing.
Oh, no, that's what I was thinking of. Garzy's Wing. That's what I was thinking of. That's the abridged one that we
You're
watched.
You're so easygoing.
You're so
We're
easygoing.
We're talking about the Master of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I genuinely really like that movie.
And Courtney Cox.
Yes, I forgot she's in that. And who? Frank Langella.
Frank Langella, yeah. He's great in it.
I will be sure to watch this.
If you need me to
got a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
If you need me to float you a copy, I will.
I'll track one.
17%.
I think that's really ridiculous.
Well, that's only because they're publishing like 5 reviews, I think. And they're probably all like 2.5 stars or 2 stars.
Pretty good.
Like, Frank Langella is awesome.
He's
like,
great.
He's totally honest in interviews. It's pretty funny. Like, you can't shame him, man.
Because we haven't really done like a movie for this yet.
It's true.
I guess we haven't. Other than Going Clear.
Yeah, it's documented. I mean, I don't think we count that. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, we know. We know what I mean.
But to be fair, we're doing it at the same time as this, so.
Yeah. Works out that way.
Yeah.
So, yay, we went 2 successive rounds without a movie. All right. Well, okay, that's going to do it for this one, I think. So we'll be back with the Summer Movie Spectacular, when we'll probably have seen Avengers by that point.
Yeah.
If I'm estimating the breaks in the weekends right. Right? Right. Right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Left.
All right. So, yeah, here we go. Star Wars, Christmas 2015. Yay. Is it Christmas Day?
No, it's the 18th.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's in the Lord of the Rings slot.
Yes.
4 days after
yeah,
my
you
ought
to be on Christmas Day. Jesus Christ, I won't make any money.
Marley and me made plenty of money on Christmas Day.
They need to set a daily record, though. Marley and me didn't set a daily record.
Oh. Fair enough.
Like, they want to set, like, you know, $75 million opening day or something.
Yeah, they do.
$120 million day. Since I think Avengers, the first Avengers was $100 million day one.
Yeah, it was.
Well, that's going to be fun, because we're going to have half the theaters shut down starting on Wednesday.
And speaking of Star Wars, Chris, there's plenty of Star Wars and Matches of the Universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I like how they waited forever to start the movie tavern construction because they kept looking for a cheaper bid. So now they're going to lose out on all of this fucking money by having half the theaters closed during the busiest movie of the entire fucking year.
Maybe the second busiest.
Oh, you think Star Wars will outdo it?
I think Star Wars will do more money than Avengers 2.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I kind of hope it does, because I won't be working at a theater when Star Wars is out. Be on the fucking moon. Like, I want it for Christmas all those years ago.
That's no moon, Richard.
Well, all right. We'll see you next week. Yes. So, sadly, we must leave you guys. But in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do. Such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, @KinzelPhotos. you know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch, at Clinch Band, and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch, and also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find them on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd, and you can also listen to them on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!